was and is to come. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy.
Amen. And now the angel of the Lord's favorite song, Only Believe.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, for all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and reading from verse 13. And this morning I would like to take some thoughts on the resurrection, since this day that we've assembled here to honor the resurrection of God's firstborn Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, we read, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia or presence of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we certainly have comfort knowing that you have descended with a shout. You have descended. Your presence is here. And knowing that soon the very voice that raised Lazarus from the dead shall raise the dead in this hour. And we know that they which are last shall be first. That's this generation that went down. And they which were first shall be last. That's Paul's generation. And so we see there, therefore, Father, at this hour, a succession of generations coming forth in a resurrection. And yet, Father, we don't know the day or the hour, the minute or the time. But yet we know there's a season. And you said through your prophet that it would be in the springtime. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to the resurrection this spring. And if it be not this spring, Father, then next spring. But we're looking for it regardless. And Father, we, as we looked the other night at faith, the faith that your Son Jesus had, to walk from Gethsemane in the absence of your presence, all the way to the cross, in which on the way it was a very difficult time because his body was completely torn apart and bruised and rendered and beaten. And yet, Lord, he did it because of his faith in you, the faith of God, in which became the faith of Christ. And Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, His faith. And knowing that when Abraham set forth on his journey, he knew not where he went, but he knew who he was walking with. And so we have in this hour either faith or fear. Fear is of the unknown. Fear is not knowing where we're going, but faith is knowing of whom we're taught. Faith is knowing with whom we're walking in the light, as you are in that light. And so, Father, we ask that as we would study these thoughts on the resurrection this morning, it would give us, increase our faith, Father, knowing that there's one faith, the same faith that operates miracles, the same faith that operates healing, also will operate the change of our body. So we're asking that we would give way and allow your faith to have complete manifestation and preeminence in our life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, how can these words be a comfort to us if we do not believe them? Therefore, these words are not for the unbeliever, but these words are for the believer only. And they are not for the Christian world in general, but for those who follow the pillar of fire. For it is us who know that the shout is already taking place. And if the shout is taking place, and we're part of that shout, we know that when the voice of the resurrection comes, we'll turn that corner as well. God Almighty, the Creator of all things, has come down with the shout, which is a military command, which Brother Branham called a message. And the shout is to gather together and elect people to a message that will get them ready for the voice of the resurrection. Now, Friday night we spoke on the faith of Jesus that took Him from Gethsemane to the cross. And we showed you that there is only one faith and one Lord, so that faith is the revelation of that Lord, for faith is a revelation. It is something that's been revealed to you. We mentioned how that many times people feel that something more must happen, because they say we hardly have faith for healing, much less faith for resurrection. I showed you how a girl that Brother Branham went to pray for didn't have enough faith for her healing. Brother Branham asked her if she had enough faith. She said she didn't. So Brother Branham said, well, if you can just believe me. And remember, the angel of God said, if you can get the people to believe you, all things are possible. So Brother Branham looked at that string that was hanging from the light, and he said, now if I can make that string turn in a circle. He said, that ought to let you know that I have faith for you. And if you can have faith in me that I have faith for you, God will bring your healing. So Brother Branham began to focus on that string, and the string began to go in a circle. Then he stopped it. Then he began to focus, and it went in the other direction. And the girl received her healing. The angel said, if you can just get the people to believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And so we have people who sit helplessly, not having learned from this man of God, that indeed God does answer our prayer. Many are waiting for Brother Branham to come back so that He will teach us something greater that will give us rapturing faith. But that only shows that we do not believe what God has already shown us through this man of God. If a man can have enough faith to pray for the sick and see results, if a man can have enough faith to speak to the weather and have it changed, and speak and create squirrels, then ought we not have to have enough? Ought we not to have faith enough? If we can have faith enough for the change of the mind, shall not that same faith change the body as well? Paul said that we receive our transformation by the renewing of the mind. As I said last night, the same electricity that lights the light, the same electricity that turns the fan, is the same electricity that puts on the heat, is the same electricity that is used for the microphone and for the taping apparatus. It's the same electricity, but it manifests or operates in a different way through the different vessels. So everybody's waiting on one vessel. Because they have not faith. They have not the faith of Jesus Christ, who went to the grave trusting that God would raise him up. Abraham left because God said, start walking. Not knowing where he was going, but knowing whom he was going with. The Bible says Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And we know that Enoch walked with God until he walked right out of here. God took one man who trusted him to demonstrate to the world that with God all things are possible. I believe what that man said. And I believe that what he taught us was, thus saith the Lord. Now, if what he taught was from God, and thus it was, thus saith the Lord, then we ought to believe God, for not to believe God is to call God a liar. Now we know that soon the resurrection will come, and whether you are ready for it or not, it will come. But I believe that when it does come, there will be no looking back at that time. The problem we have today, whether it be with healing, or with our finances, or with whatever measure of faith that we fail to operate, I believe our problem lays in that we're always looking around. But see, faith doesn't look at circumstances. Faith only looks to the Word of God. Therefore, I believe that when the resurrection does take place, we'll be in a condition not to look back again. In fact, several years ago, I had a dream where, and I believe that dream was from the Lord. And the dream had such a profound effect on me that for about 3 months, I just walked in the presence of that dream, that aura, that feeling that I had when I had that dream. And in the dream, I was in Jeffersonville, in Brother Branham's home, on Ewing Street. And there was a circle of chairs in the living room, and set up kind of like these chairs here. And I was sitting there by myself, and people were passing through the room, not oblivious to me being there. And then Brother Branham walked into the room, and he sat down. And when he did, there was such a presence of God I could feel. I described the scene to Brother Vail. I described the essence, the aura when Brother Branham came in, what the house looked like, where the kitchen was at, where the living room, how it was situated, where the rooms were coming off of it. And Brother Vail said that's exactly the way it was. Now, I've never been in that house. I don't know those things by firsthand experience. But I do know that I was there. And Brother Branham said, when you dream, you go places. And the way that people were walking through and passing right through the chairs, not even knowing that they're there, told me that somehow I was in a different dimension. And I asked Brother Branham in a very humble and very reverent way, because I could hardly get the words out. And I said, Brother Branham, may I ask you a question? And he said, yes, yes, you may. And I said, Brother Branham, what will it be like at the time of the resurrection? And he looked at me very those austere eyes, and he said, "It'll be like suicide." And I knew the moment he said that, he wasn't saying it will be suicide. But as in suicide, there's no turning back. Therefore, it'll be a time where there's no turning back. Your focus is completely on the task at hand. There'll be no turning back, no looking back, no compulsion to step out from what you're doing. But you're going into another dimension. You're going into a change of the body. These things are taking place, and there's nothing that you would ever do to stop the thing from happening. Our minds will be made up in such a manner that there will be no second thoughts. We will be prepared to walk forward, not knowing what the next step will be. Because when a person approaches suicide, they don't know what that next step will be. They just know that they're going ahead with it. And then after he said that, those thoughts flooded my mind. And then he said, "Tell Brother Vail," I said, "to say hello." And then I woke up. Now, I believe the dream was from the Lord. My critics may not. But that does not concern me. But what he told me in that dream does. And so as Brother Branham was asked, as Abraham was asked to start walking toward the land of promise, the scripture tells us that he knew not whether he was going, but he knew who he was walking with. We find in Hebrews 11 verse 8, it tells us that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. When Abraham was told to sacrifice the son that he had waited 25 years for, he told the wife and family, he said, "The lad and I are going up to do sacrifice, and we shall return." He walked for 3 days, not knowing how far, or in fact, he had it planned that he would have to sacrifice the child, but God was obligated to raise him up. And so the lad said, "Father," he said, "here is the wood, and here is the fire. But where is the sacrifice?" And his father said, "God shall provide us the sacrifice." You see, there's a difference between fear and faith. Fear is of the unknown. People fear when they're not sure of how something will turn out. People are fearful, and fear has a penalty. It causes you to stop. But faith is different. Faith is trusting. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He could have feared, but he didn't. Sometimes we fear because we don't know when our next paycheck will be. We don't know if the baby's going to make it or not. When there's sickness in the home, we don't know how it's going to turn out. And that's fear. But Paul said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but has given us the spirit of a sound mind and of love. And love is an outward expression of a revelation. And so, Abraham, by faith, he began to walk. And we showed Friday night that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence of things that are not even seen. And we showed you that that substance is actually a person. It's not a substance like this wood is substance, this paper is substance. It's a person. Because when the Scripture says that Jesus was the exact image of God's person, it's the same Greek word, hypostasis, that was used as faith is the substance. So faith is a substance. Faith is a person. We don't have faith in things because things can break. Things can wear out. But we have faith in a person. And if you have a good person who's honest and always upright and always will do what they say they're going to do, you have faith in what they tell you is going to take place. And when you've got a God who has two immutable things, one is that He gives you His word of promise, and the other is that His word is immutable. It cannot be changed. He's the unchanging God. Then we have faith in Him. And that's what resurrection is all about. It's the ultimate trial of your faith. It's the ultimate expression of God's faith in His plan. Because God ordained before the foundations of the world a children to an inheritance. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And if God predestinated us unto the adoption of children, then God's plan will come into effect. Now, if we walk in the light as He is in that light, then you're walking with Him. And it should make no difference where you're going. That is what faith is all about. Walking with Him and trusting Him. In fact, the very evidence that you're believing what He has revealed to you is that you're walking in that revelation. Noah believed God and he built the ark. Moses believed God and they walked through the Red Sea. And Brother Branham said, when he lifted that stick, he said, then Moses stepped into that water and the water parted. He had to do something to show God that he believed. Then that word became manifested. Brother Branham took this, the stone, he threw it up in the air, and when it came down, it started the whirlwind. And the whirlwind brought on judgment. Having a little technical difficulty. And so it brought on judgment. Brother Branham said, God gives you the word, you take the first step, God will do the rest. That's what faith is all about. Trusting Him. Walking with Him and trusting in Him. In fact, the very evidence that you're believing what He's revealed to you is that you're walking in what He's revealed to you. Especially when no one else believes or no one else knows what that hidden voice has spoken to you. Not hidden to you, but revealed to you what has been hidden to them. Now we read this morning in our text from 1 Thessalonians 4 that we will be caught up together with the resurrected saints and then we shall go together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Them that have gone on before shall be gathered together with us, and we shall be caught up by the trump of God, and away we go to meet the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, in that other dimension, which it says is in the air, which is a higher dimension than these three dimensions that we live in now. Now, if you'd open up your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, from God hiding in simplicity, Brother Branham said, God just speaks, and the rapture will come. Well, I believe it began with a shout. That's what he said. It ain't going out there and them angels come down and shovel out the grave and get out the old dead carcass here. What is it? It's born of sin to begin with, but a new one made in its likeness. If we have this, we die again, see? Nobody can say that the graves will open, the dead shall walk out. That may be true, but not open the way that you say open. That's right, see? It won't be like that. It'll be a secret because he said that he would come like a thief in the night. He's already told us this, the rapture, then judgment will strike, sins, plague, sickness, and everything. The people will cry for death to take them from the judgment. Lord, why is this judgment upon us when you said that there would be a rapture first? And he will say, it's already come and you didn't know it. God hiding himself in simplicity, oh my. All right, it's already happened and you knew it not. Why don't believers believe the simple signs of his coming? They're expecting all these things that's spoken of by the scriptures, and the moon is going to go down in the middle of the day, and the sun in the middle of the day, and there's going to be all kinds of things. And why don't believers believe the simple signs of his coming? They're expecting all these things that's spoken of in the scripture, and the moon going down to go down in the middle, and the sun in the middle of the day, and there's all these things, all these kind of things. And oh, if we could just, I got the notes wrote here. See, to show what these things are. And we'll get it on the breaking of the seals this week anyhow. See, there it is, just where it's already passed and you didn't know it. See, if it is, if the angel of the Lord will break them seals for us, remember, it's sealed with them seven mysterious thunders. See, now why can't people believe the simple simplicity of a humble bunch of people and the voice of the signs of God? Why can't they believe it? Just like it's always been, the true word of God being made manifest. They're too smart and too educated to believe the simple form of the written word. They want to put their own interpretation to it. It don't mean this. It don't mean that. It does mean that. Listen, may I say this right quick? Even the visions that God give here at the place, it's so misunderstood. That's the reason you hear me on the tape say what the tapes say what the visions say. And from the seven church ages, Brother Branham said, behold, he cometh with clouds. Let me stop here just a moment. Clouds doesn't mean that he's coming on a big thunderhead. As Mama, bless her heart, she's sitting here somewhere. I remember her voice. She used to sit and tell me, said, he's coming on a great big cloud, going to raise someday, and God's going to come down. Now, the cloud that he's coming is, if we just had the time to get this back and get the real background in the whole thing, now, the cloud that he's coming in is not a cloud like a thunderhead, but it's a cloud of glory that he's coming in. See? Now, when Jesus was overshadowed by God in Mount Transfiguration, clouds overshadowed him and his raiment. See? And when Elijah would come down, a cloud would come down and received him up, not a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. His great, glorious presence will strike the earth. He cometh in clouds. Oh, I love that. Clouds. There'll be wave after wave of His glory will come across the earth. And the resurrection of the saints shall come. That blessed Holy Spirit that's lived in their hearts and they're dried up their corpse and laying there and pierced veins over their cheeks and things like that. And they're placed back in the graveyard and a great wave of that same Spirit. And wave after wave. He that was first will be last. He that was last will be first. I'm kind of see it that way. That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me or the generation after me. I'll know those in the generation with me. And every generation will come up successfully right as it went down. They which were last will be first. Sure, that's me, see? I'll know my people. And the next time my dad and his people, my grandfather, his people, on down like that, wave after wave after wave after wave, and the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. That makes the old people feel young again. Yes. Now notice closely, for I come to you in a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and no matter how far back they died, they'll see Him. So it's a dimensional thing. From Mother's Day, He said, and as the light begins to spread, we'll know as we're known. We'll understand. And we'll remember our acquaintances and the ones that's been there. And there'll be many that we didn't even think would be there. For you know, it's at that time that I believe that the bread that we have cast upon human troubled waters will return to us on that day. When we see the effects of our testimony on people that we didn't understand their actions towards it, we'll probably be there. What a day that will be. And then the seeds that we sowed, not even thinking, what would they do? But here they are. They brought forth precious fruits, and we'll see them on that day. Now, before we go any further on our discussion concerning the resurrection, let me just say that when God Himself came down in this hour, God didn't hide Himself from mankind. The whole world knows of this coming because the message was not performed in a corner of the world in some obscure place. There's over 169 countries in the world that has received the message. 162 have opened themselves up to the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the message. God showed Himself present to the entire world through the ministry of this end-time prophet, William Branham. And through this man, traveled around the world 7 times. And in this ministry, God has made known His personal presence in such a way that it has not been known since the Lord Jesus Christ was embodied in the fullness of the Godhead. Or the fullness of Godhead was embodied in Him. Now many miss Him by the way that He comes. But He does come according to His Word. And the first time that He came, they missed Him because they were so indoctrinated into their own church theology that when God incarnated His only begotten Son, the very people who claimed to worship that one and true God, they killed the very expression that God came in the form of His Son. He said, "Why do you want to stone Me because I am the Son? Because I say that I'm the Son of God?" And by saying that He was the Son of God, they said He was making Himself God, but He was not. They said He was making Himself God, not Him. He only claimed to be the Son of God. And He said the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father doing, that the Son doeth likewise. And so He was dependent upon God to show Him a vision. A vision of what was to be done, or what was to be said. And He was an obedient Son, and He did whatsoever that God willed Him to do. And He said, "Not my will, but the will of Him that sent Me." You see, when God chooses a servant to use and declare Himself through that servant, the people always have missed the representation of God in earth because of the vessel that God had chosen. Jesus Himself said, "Which one of the prophets have they not slain?" Jesus said those words Himself to the most religious of the religious, to the Pharisees. Now, William Branham said, "My ministry is to declare Him that He's here." There are 2 things in this statement. Number one, he said, "My ministry is to declare Him." And that is one statement. And a declaration is a revealing by words. Therefore, for the shout, as Brother Branham said, is the message. There was a declaration of Godhead. The second thing, he said, "My ministry is number one to declare Him, but the second thing is that He is here," and that's presence. So to declare the invisible one, to make Him visible, is what the end time ministry of Elijah prophet was all about. Now what if He, God, is here, but no one knows it? You see, God is invisible. And unless there is something that strikes the vision, or the vision will continue then to be unseen. And that is the enmorph. It means something strikes the vision, making that vision visible. John said in 1 John, let me see. Find it real quickly here. 1 John chapter 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." For the life was manifested. And we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Then he went on to say, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, then you're walking with Him and you're having fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. So God, wanting to make Himself known, made Himself visible by vindicating His personal presence. He vindicated His personal presence by performing an epiphaneia, a shining forth. The supernatural signs and wonders then declared His presence before the people. Now, William Branham said the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. There are several words that I would like to cover this morning, unless you understand what God has done in this hour. Unless you have heard the shout, and the shout has become alive in you, you will not hear the voice of the resurrection. You see, the Bible speaks of the parousia of Christ. That is the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the pillar of fire, which is to take place before the actual second coming. William Branham taught us that there's a difference between the appearing and the coming. He said the appearing is now. The Lord Himself has been appearing in these meetings in the form of the pillar of fire, making Himself known. Now, if you do not understand this difference, then you will not understand the day in which you're living and the ministry of God to you in this day. Now, if what He has appeared, what if God appeared and nobody knew it? What if God descended in His personal presence, but no one perceived what was taking place? Then that presence wouldn't do them any good. Then they couldn't eat the bread of life. They couldn't eat from the tree of life because they didn't know it's there. So God, in order to show Himself present, manifested Himself in what the Scripture calls an epiphaneia, which is a shining forth. The miracles and the supernatural demonstration were not the end-all purpose of God in this hour, but they were a tool that God used to show forth His very presence among men. So God came down in the form of the pillar of fire on the Ohio River in 1933, where hundreds of people not only saw it, but the newspapers declared it. Then once God got the attention of the people, He began to unveil Himself. And this unveiling is known in Scripture as the Great Apocalypse, or the unveiling of God. As God then began to unveil Himself to be made known to man, His very nature and attributes by manifesting in His true character, that is what the Scripture calls as the phaneroo of God. And it takes this phaneroo of God to the people for the people to manifest what they truly are. John told us in 1 John 3 and 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear. It does not yet phaneroo what we shall be, but we know that when He shall phaneroo, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So when God manifested Himself in His true character in this hour, we begin to manifest ourselves in that same character. And we shall be like Him. Now this making manifest in His true character brings on a certain confidence that we have in our relationship with the Father. In 1 John 2 and verse 28, And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. But isn't it a great wonder that so many of the people in the message are ashamed? They are so ashamed that they feel they have to wait for William Branham to come back in order for something to happen. They are so ashamed that they're waiting for a return ministry, when they're rejecting the very ministry that He brought the first time. Now, I don't say William Branham won't return, but he's going to return in the resurrection, because even Jesus didn't have His own resurrection. And this word confidence, where John says, Now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence. There ought to be a confidence today that no people in the world have ever had before. And there is among some. But not amongst the majority. Because Brother Branham said, many of you that are listening to this tape. So he's talking to the tape listeners. Many of you that are listening to this tape would say Brother Branham is a oneness. He said, I am not. And Brother Branham went on to say, he said, To misconstrue one word of the prophet when he comes is total annihilation. So just because you listen to tapes doesn't mean you're going to get it. It comes by revelation. And revelation is faith. And there's only one faith. Therefore, the faith you have for healing of a hangnail is the same faith you'll have for resurrection power. Because it is a resurrection power. It's the faith of Him. Paul said, I am all things with Christ. We are all things in Christ. Hallelujah. Now what if He appeared and nobody knew it? Well, what a shame. But they don't. And this word confidence was translated from the Greek word parhesia, which means a certain boldness in the very presence of God because we know and understand our relationship with the Father, because we understand the relationship that He had with His firstborn Son, Jesus. And if Jesus was God's firstborn Son, then that tells us that there are other sons in the family as well. And John said, we are already sons, but it doesn't appear what we shall be. But when God will appear, when He shall phaneroo, when He shall declare Himself in His true character, then something happens to us that we shall not only see Him, but we shall see Him and understand Him for who He really is. And then we'll know who we really are. And once you see Him, you cannot help but to understand who that you are and your relationship with Him. And the same God that raised up Jesus from the dead will raise all of us up and all that them that sleep in Christ in a very short while. Now this seeing Him as He truly is allows us to know Him, not only with our intellectual understanding as understanding from the mind, but to know Him in the experiential way of His gnosko of God, which is spoken of in the Scripture. It receives His very thoughts that He has for us. It means to know Him in an experiential manner, as Mary said, how can I be expecting a child when I have known no man, when I have gnosko no man? Now, once we have experienced the presence of God in this manner and have received the shout, which is a declaration of who He is and why He's here, then we begin to receive the very mind of God. Now, a son cannot be adopted until he has the mind of the Father. When God took Jesus up on Mount Transfiguration to adopt Him, He said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Hear ye Him. Paul told us that no man can understand the thoughts of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. So God has come to give us of His Spirit by the receiving of His Word, which Jesus said, My words are My Spirit and they are life. And receiving the shout, which is the end time message, it brings sons into relationship with the Father as we saw in Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Revelation chapter 8. In 8 verse 29 it says, For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And the receiving, the very mind of God is the glory which we are to be glorified with, as Jesus said in His prayer to the Father, in which we also see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints, and to be marred in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and that you in Him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this word glorified was translated from the Greek word doxa, and it means the opinion, assessment, and judgment of God. So you see, it speaks of the very mind of God coming into the people in this hour. And notice, Paul tells us that it is to come in the hour when the gospel that he preached will be received. In that day. And William Brown told us that he only preached what Paul preached. So you see, in this hour, this is the hour that Paul's testimony is to be believed. Now let me just say a few more words about the next phase of what God is about to do. We know that the same God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ raised up His Son Jesus and will raise up all sons, except for those who do not sleep. And we have a promise of being raised up if we believe that God, who also raised up Jesus from the dead, and if that same Spirit that was in Him be in us, it'll also raise us up. How much faith does a dead man have? He don't have his own faith, does he? So it's the faith of the Son of God that raises you up. Amen? then how much faith are you going to have for a body change? So it won't be your own faith. It's His faith. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Let me tell you, Brother Branson, said there's going to be a squeeze before it's all over. Why is there going to be a squeeze? Because God has got to take you to the abyss of the unknown. You're not going to know what's going to hit you tomorrow. If you aren't in Christ and the Spirit of God is not in you and you don't have the faith of Christ in you, you will be living in a fearful time. And when that time moves on and on, it'll move into tribulation, but we'll be gone before then. Those that have the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ knew that I'm walking with God, walking with Him daily. I'm walking with Him. Like we sing the song, and I walk with Him, and I talk with Him, and He tells me I am His own. So we've got to walk with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Faith is knowing whom you're walking with. And when that time comes, it doesn't matter what looks like bleak in front of you, how much abyss you see in front of you, how the economy looks, how everything looks, how you don't have jobs, you got jobs, you don't have this, you do have this. It doesn't matter. The only thing that'll matter is that you're walking with Him, talking with Him. That's what resurrection faith is all about. Not having confidence in a checkbook, not having confidence in a job, not having confidence in your health, not having confidence in your wife or your children, but having confidence that He which promised, He which began the good work in you, He will perform it. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we believe. Lord, help thou our unbelief. Now, in closing, I just want to read a few thoughts that Brother Branham said concerning the resurrection, since this is the next phase of what God is in the process of doing. And this concerns us here because one day soon we'll see our loved ones back again, but this time in young bodies that is commensurate with a resurrected body. From the message Mother's Day, Brother Branham said, and that as that great light begins to spread all, as we begin to look around and the great circle will be getting greater and greater and greater, and it's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and we shall see Jesus at last. He will be waiting for me. Jesus, so kind and true, on His beautiful throne, He'll welcome me home after this day is through. Then as we see Him, and will not be as we are now, we'll know how to love Him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear, because we'll be like Him. He'll be more of a relative to us than He is now. We'll understand Him better because we're so far away in the mortal bodies. Then we'll have a body like His glorious body. We'll know how to worship Him. I like when He says He'll be more of a relative. Sure, He's our older brother. And we'll know Him as an older brother. And when we see what the presence of His being has done to us, it's changed us. The old, back, young, all the deformed, straight out. Oh, we'll understand then why His power healed us. The questions that's been in our mind, how can He do it? What would this, somehow mysteriously, they'll all fade away. The knots that's been tied up in the back of our minds, will it be this? How could it be? Somehow or another, majestic fingers will just untangle and unravel these knots, and it'll all fade into one big crown of love. From Jehovah Jireh, He said, and then remember, if we go before He comes, He will be up and in His presence, or raised before the others are changed. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones, and if we got there to meet Him first, we'd be looking around to see if Mother or Dad and the rest of them was there. But see how this Holy Spirit in His wisdom, we meet one another first, and then when we get there and sing Amazing Grace, that's when there's going to be a time of worship. see your papa. She'll be young again. You see your mama. She'll be young again. He said, you get it out of your system so that when he does come, what a time of worship there'll be. So we see it's a process of time. But there's no turning back. From invisible union, there will come forth a resurrection day, which the first will be last and the last will be first. The old prophets will come breaking forth first, and they see that procession going marching up in the air, and we which are alive remain shall not hinder them which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we will fall right in line with them going in. Hallelujah. All down through the age, Luther, Wesley, Methodist, Presbyterian, on down to the last age who receive the word in their age. Just think about this. We are a privileged people because we will see the procession of the saints. First, we'll see William Branham and his age come up. Then we'll see Wesley's age and those saints come up. Then we'll see Luther's age and those saints come up, all the way back to Paul. And we will have a privilege to see this going on. You don't think that will increase the voltage of your faith? It's not a different faith, brother, sister. There's one faith because there's one Lord. But you talk about cranking up the voltage. Hallelujah. From uniting time and sign, and we find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds, and those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us, there's many of those Hebrew brethren, and when they come together, they unite with the living ones, and the church uniting with the Word, then the church and the Word uniting together becomes one. The dead saints, which with the living saints uniting together to be one, and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And to think of us standing in a moment in the twinkling of an eye when the world won't know nothing about what's going on, but all of a sudden you'll see appear before you your loved one that's gone on has come to unite with you again and will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Let's get ready. Let's get ready for the midnight cry. It's coming in an hour. When you think not, there'll be a cry, not amongst the unbelieving world, but it'll be secret. Can you imagine one day, Brother Jesse will show up. Young, changed. You talk about a uniting time. From how can I overcome, Brother Bram said, sooner or later we're going to have to give each other up. But that won't hurt the rapture now. See, no. They come first then. Them are privileged that's gone on. They come first, see. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones, then we'll be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and with them shall be caught up in the air. There's your key right there. When our eyes behold our loved ones, that's when we get our change. From going beyond the camp, and you know, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Think of it, missing people. They can't see you no more. But you're getting together with the rest of the group. They which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder, the word is. Those which are asleep, not dead, no, Christians don't die. They're just taking a little rest, see? That's all, oh my. And the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, appear to many, and all at once you happen to stand and look, and there's brother so-and-so, and you know it ain't long. In a few minutes, we'll be all changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and together with them, be missing on earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And from Questions and Answers, 1964. Then you believe that Jesus Christ is the Word, that the Word is made flesh among us, fulfilling exactly what He said He would do in this age. Now the first thing happens when we're resurrected. The ones which are living will just still remain. The resurrection will set in first. The resurrection of those that are asleep, there'll be an awakening time. And those which are asleep in the dust now will be awakened first, and these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption in the rapture and grace of the Lord. And then we'll all together, and when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden there'll be like a sweep go over us, and you're changed. You're turned back like Abraham was, from an old man to a young man, from an old woman to a young woman. What's the sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like a thought. And you can see these then who are already resurrected. Oh, what an hour. Then we'll gather with them and be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, the church will all be gathered together, but after the resurrection and the rapture has set in. Well, if after the resurrection and the rapture has set in, there's no need for an airplane. I don't believe. I mean, God can do what He wants to do. He can use rocket ships for all I care. But the fact is that resurrection power, Brother Ram said, will be traveling like a thought. If you're traveling like a thought, what do you need an airplane for? Questions and answers? Now, my dear friends, see? Now, I think here that you had a good statement. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, that would be so. You said, Brother Branham, in other words, here's what I believe, not polishing up what you said, but I believe I can make a little clearer to the people, see? You are believing, because of the spoken word and things like that, that he said about, and all of you here witness the squirrels and these things that's been done, but did you notice that was sovereignly given? I never asked him, Lord, let me do this, speak these things like that, do these things. I never asked him that. He, by his own divine will, came to me and said, you go do this. So those people that are looking for Brother Branham to come back and speak the word over them, unless it's God's plan to do it that way, they're looking in error. Brother Branham didn't create squirrels. God created the squirrels. He only said what God told him to say. He said, what are you doing? What are you hunting for? Squirrels. How many you want? Three. Okay, speak it. From questions and answers, the time of the rapture will be the awakening of the dead and the getting together of the living for the rapture to take place. And Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry that He wants will have to be the same as it was then. And then that brings, them without us is not made perfect. Paul said, Hebrews 11, without us they cannot be perfected. They must have this ministry to raise up the Lutheran, Wesley, and all of them down through their age. I think that's where they get the thoughts about Brother Branham will speak the resurrection come forth. It doesn't work that way. They'll have to have this ministry because when they're raised up, there may be a time where Brother Branham talks. But Brother Branham is not the one that's going to speak the resurrection. Jesus didn't even speak a resurrection. God spoke through him. Brother Branham said when he wept, he said that was the man Jesus crying, the Son of God. But he said when he said Lazarus come forth, he said that was God in the man. From questions and answers, he said, and then shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds and the utmost parts of the earth to the utmost parts of heaven. That's talking of the resurrection, the translation going up. We will send forth his angels to gather, or he will send forth his angels to gather. Did you ever think what the angels are? Huh? They're messengers. He will gather them together, congregate them together, see, bring them, bind them together from the utmost parts of the earth to the utmost parts of heaven. The word that has been made manifest on earth, see, get it? The word's been spoken, here it's manifested. And from the Easter seal. And now if that same Spirit that was upon Him to be the Redeemer in that age that we have accepted, now the promise of in this last days, what would have taken place, if you become part of that word, you're redeemed with Him. Because the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ is dwelling in you, quickening your life to this age. And it will also in the end time quicken your mortal bodies, resurrect them, bring them up again. That takes the gloom away when we look at it that way. And that's the truth. Romans here, Paul has proved it to us. See, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. This is the same Spirit that raised Him up, that quickened the true believer to the eternal life. The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells into the believer, and it quickens the believer to eternal life. and from the rising of the sun. And now you are already resurrected. When God raised him up, he raised you. The sun is just now on you. And now you're growing into a blossom life like he was. To be resurrected completely in the last day, your potentials that you have now. Why do you know? Your soul's changed, didn't it? Your body come in obedience to it, didn't it? Into obedience to what? A church? No. The Word, which is the life. When you are now resurrected from the dead, you potentially have the earnest, the waiting. Now when you get the dynamics, you have been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes the whole body come subject to the Word. It'll make you act different, look different, live different. It'll make you different. Then notice now, as we close, notice this. Notice it's just a little seed laying in the ground. Now potentially you are resurrected. You're resurrected when you receive the Holy Spirit in you. You're resurrected right then. Your body's potentially resurrected. Now we can go on and on. I think I have another 7 pages of quotes, but I'm just going to go ahead and close at this time and just say this. We have everything that is needed for the resurrection to take place. The electricity is flowing through the conduit. And everything that's needed in this church to turn the lights, to move the fan, to warm the building, it's all flowing. But it's dependent upon the operation of the gift that lays within. And each fixture has certain attributes and characteristics that manifest when the same electricity goes through them. The same electricity that lights this is the same electricity that records the sermon. But it's just operating through a different gift. And the same Holy Spirit that works in you to heal you is the same Holy Spirit, the same Word of God that works in you to bring forth a change of the mind and a change of the body. So we are now potentially already resurrected. Jesus, when he came forth as the Lamb of God, was potentially at birth the same Lamb that was to be slain before the foundations of the world. It was a matter of having faith in God that God would walk with him even though God had to abandon him in his body. But God walked with him. God took him to the cross. But God couldn't live in that body while he was going through what he had to go through. Because if God had, he could not have died. So one of these days we will see, very soon perhaps, the resurrected saints coming forth. Those that you've loved and those that ever loved you. If they're in that plan of God, they'll be there. You'll see them. Brother Ram said, you'll get it out of your system and then we'll go to meet the Son of God in the air. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your eternal plan. Before the very foundations of the world, you predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And we know that the adoption is, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so, Father, we know that one of these days, the saints will begin to come forward. It's not something that we will work ourselves up into, but we will see them because we're ordained to see them. And by the seeing them, it gives us faith to release the hold of this body and to receive a body change. Because we seem to hold on to this body so much by sight and by hearing, by all the senses of the body. But we know that faith is a sixth sense. It goes beyond this body and it goes pure from the soul to you in your presence, O God. And we know in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Therefore, Father, may we walk in the light as you are in the light, walking in your presence. And may it bring us joy this time of Easter, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
One more time. Let's all stand to our feet.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him.